Easter. That's where he likes American cheers.
Sponsors?
American Leak Detection.
Here is the man himself, Spob.
All right, so in this month's version of That's What I Like About Texas, we go further down the rabbit hole of Far West Texas, as all of these are sort of tangentially connected in some way, going back to my trips out to the Marfa slash Presidio, is it Davis County?
It is.
Just that general area that we have become somewhat fascinated with, all the way down to our friends at Lajitas and just this part of Texas that I've lived here for over two decades and just started figuring that out, the far, far west part of this area, which ironically enough, so many Texans I've talked to have never been out there themselves. And so during the course of this, I have fallen into a number of pieces of literature or movies. No Country for Old Men comes quickly to mind. What was the book about the Comanches I just read? So good. Anyway, through it all, you would keep coming back to Lonesome Dove as something you should read if you haven't read it, and I never did. And honestly, upon moving to Texas, it was just one of those things that people always reference that you just get used to. I know Grego would always mention Lonesome Dove for different reasons along the way. Just in passing, he seemed to be a very big enthusiast of Lonesome Dove. And then when I first got here, Gordon was always talking about Larry McMurtry, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when we went up to Wichita Falls for my first few cowboy camps. And so just a lot of that in my head. And finally, over the course of time, I think it was probably the death of Larry McMurtry and his trifecta nomination that I finally said, you know what? I'm going to read Lonesome Dove. And so in April of this year, I cracked it open and I started reading it. And my goal, because I did not realize what I was getting into, I did not realize when I said I'm going to read this book that it was nearly 1,000 pages and well over 100 chapters.
It's any article that Corby forwards you.
It's a long book.
Yeah.
It's what it is, man.
Now,
you know what's funny is that this was, I can't remember, and Ty, I know you may have been in the same boat. Danny, you may have been too, going to high school around here. It was required. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 86, okay?
Yes.
So
now I'm reminded of the Pulitzer Prize story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we had Larry McMurtry come speak at my high school.
And you were all bored.
And it was like, are you kidding me? Well, you have to go listen to an author
speak? This guy just won one of the greatest prizes a writer could ever win.
Yeah, our probably English teacher.
What did you expect, Danny White?
So that would have been kick-ass.
Well, I know.
Right?
Like, even Preston Pearson probably would have made the entire class.
Heck, Benny Barnes would have.
Phil Posderick would have been great. I would have taken any of them over Larry, a guy that wrote a book.
What's a book?
I don't want any of that happening, but yeah, he came.
4 years trying to avoid those.
And it was our whole school, and the teacher was like, ladies and gentlemen, Pulitzer Prize winning author of Lonesome Dove, McMurtry.
Never
and it was like
prize.
You could see like eight teachers stand up and clap, and the kids are just like, "Boring!"
Oh, what a great story!
But anyway, I read it.
Yeah,
and it
is. What was your age when you read it?
19 or 20. I mean, it's the definitive Texas cowboy western novel.
See, I think that's right. I think it's the if you're going to stack up the books that are most Texas to least Texas, this one is probably right there at the top.
But
right,
it's much more than that. It's much more than an expanded Louis L'Amour cowboy story.
Right, the Sacketts or
it
something
is,
like that.
Yeah, it is so much more than that. It is. I mean, it's that. It's a great story with an incredibly well defined deep characters.
Memorable characters,
but it's also just enveloped in some of the best prose you could possibly read.
So I got into it in April, and I kept with my program pretty well for the first several weeks. Like, I want to say for at least three straight weeks, I kept with my, I'm going one chapter a day no matter what. So about bedtime, I have certainly spread myself thin. I've got several bosses who asked for things from me during the course of a year and a day, and it's my fault, and I've done it to myself, but it's this world I live in, and I'm fine with it, and it's all football, and I'm good. But the point is, I don't have time to read books, and so I actually have to make a point to read a book, and I guess what I'm telling you is I tried to start a book during draft season. And right around April 1st, I started, and about April 20th, I kind of fell off the wagon.
Mm. And it's hard to get back on that horse.
Well, then,
no pun intended,
as I will do, I started a different book.
See, what are you doing?
And I went all the way through that book
what
in
did you
6
read?
Weeks.
Strange but True Football Stories.
a golf course called America.
That takes about 10 minutes.
Right.
The great Tom Coyne wrote a good golf book that I read, and I got done about July 1st. And so now I'm 25, 30 chapters into a 105 chapter book. And I just stopped. And if you said, well, why did you stop reading this book? Did you not like it? No, I liked it fine, but it kind of felt like we were not getting anywhere fast. More on that in a minute. But I went to Mexico, and I thought, you know what? Our plan in Mexico appears to be not to do anything. We did a few things, but for the most part, we were there for a week. And the goal was to sit under the palapa, or in everyone else's case, sit in the sun. I'm not really sit in the sun guy. I'd like the shade. But I just started reading the book again.
Start chilling. There's no better vacation than the chill out vacation.
And I started knocking out a dozen chapters a day.
My man.
And I went from chapter 25 to 40 to 55 to 70 to... Now... I'm going to do a book report today, basically, on a book that I'm still about 8 chapters from the finish line. But I figure if you get to 97 out of 105, God, and you're about to leave again, and then we're going to have camp, I just wanted to knock it out today. So I want to say Lonesome Dove is an excellent read, and you should stick with it. Now, it's funny because Junior and I have been reading the same books for some reason. Probably a few of them he recommended on his show.
Is he Lonesome Doving right
but
now?
But he started Lonesome Dove after I did. And so I checked in with him last night to say, hey, how's your Lonesome Dove thing going? Because he seems like a guy that will power through a book in a week.
Chapter 3.
Ooh.
And I came to find out that he pretty much stopped exactly where I stopped. He said, I got about 25 chapters in, and... He said, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. And I agree with him. About 25 chapters in, you'll be like, so what are we doing exactly?
So many chapters.
It really is, man. And that's like 300 pages, too. They're setting the stage, right? They're showing you the characters, but not a lot is happening.
Yeah.
And so when I picked up the book again in Mexico, things started happening pretty fast.
The cattle drive starts, right?
The cattle drive started, and I think what really hooked me was they're crossing a river, and one of the guys got absolutely overrun by snakes. You know, I don't want to offer too many spoilers in here.
That's okay. It was published in 1985.
Well, but I imagine...
Most people haven't read it.
Most people now have not read it. Yeah. It's a 35-year-old book about the 1870s.
Overwhelmed by water moccasins.
Oh, absolutely overrun by water moccasins, making me think I'm not going to cross very many more rivers on a horse just because...
You're done with that, right?
I feel like I'm done with my cattle herding. But...
Is it not great, though?
It's great. I want to say this, though. I can't believe, and basically how I position it in my head is my grandparents' grandparents would have been alive in the 1870s. So however you want to say that, and if you're older, younger, whatever, but basically 5 generations ago, they lived in a world that is portrayed in Lonesome Dove and in several other pieces, so you don't have to say McMurtry was making stuff up. It checks out with other source material of what America was about at the halfway point of America. Like, if you go from here all the way back to, you know, the American Revolution, the middle is sort of the time of Lonesome Dove.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so soft as humans right now compared to what it sounds. It sounds like everyone's life sucked. And it sounds like everyone's life went about 40 years before a disease or an ailment or a gun or a snake or you get kicked in the head by a horse. Yeah. Or just,
dude, you know what it is? It's Game of Thrones in the Old West.
Yes.
It's everyone's dirty and miserable.
I mean,
and
you were lucky.
Hot or cold.
Hungry, cold, yes. Hot, windy.
You had to make all of your own food. You had to kill or grow all of your own food. You were lucky to get a bath once a month. A month.
It sounds awful.
Yeah. I know.
And it was only our grandparents' grandparents.
My grandparents' parents.
And mine, too. And a lot of this carried over into, my dad tells stories about, you know, living in it with his grandma, and they had the outhouse. As he says, it was a Cadillac of outhouses, though, because it had two holes.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's, my dad lived that.
Yep.
Man, it sounds so awful, and that's for the white males. All right, so now let's go down. Again, just imagine you're living somewhere where an Indian attack can happen, or, maybe the Mexicans roll up over the border to steal your horses, so now you're going to roll back under the border to steal them back, and now this guy is a horse thief, and so he'll be hanged if the sheriff can ever track him down from Fort Smith. And you just have all of this stuff going on Now we get to the life.
Not to mention being followed around by Blue Duck.
Blue Duck is causing trouble.
He's like the Omar of the Old West.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But now let's go down the list of occupations for the females. Here's the entire list.
There's two things.
Whore.
What's the other one?
Housewife.
Okay, well, it sounds very limited. Let's just put it that way. In fact, it sounds like one is like entry-level position to the other.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you can work your way up the corporate ladder to wife, you've obviously done the entry-level job
properly.
You're
the president of the company at that point.
I mean, dude, it sounds awful for Lorena. And that's before things really broke bad for her.
Yeah.
I'm just out of words to describe
it's
how
horrifying.
Thankful I am that I'm alive now. And for all of our societal problems where we're trying to decide whether social media has made things bad for us or, you know, just now our oceans are gaining. Yeah, look, there's a lot of problems. I'm not sure about air pollution. I'm not crazy about the reefs, suffering to global warming. Boy, what's going on down there in Austin in the capital? Can we get along? Let me just say.
The grid.
The grid. Oh, the ERCOT thing. What are we going to do? The rolling blackouts. I just want to say to the year 2021 in modern society, I know you're not perfect. I love you. I love you so much. I love the fact there's a baseball all-star game tonight and the NBA finals tomorrow, and I have HD and some games are available in 4K and
I just
air conditioning.
The fact that it is 150 years ago, that's a blink on the timeline.
I know.
Of humanity.
Like let's not even consider 500 years ago.
No, 150 years ago, and we are so far advanced.
And
from where they were.
So soft.
So soft, dude.
Us humans are so soft now.
And it's
such
ridiculous.
Slaves to convenience.
Oh, the Wi-Fi's down. Oh,
the
really?
The Wi-Fi's down.
You think Cal and Gus would have a problem hearing us bellyache about, just anything.
It'd be great to have like the AB from here to then, and it's like some little kid bitching that his chicken nugs are cold.
Oh my
but
god.
In the left screen, there's a woman pulling feathers out of a headless chicken with or blood pouring down her wrist.
Trying to give birth in the middle of a wagon train.
God, dude. or like the
Indian attack in a freaking storm.
The locust storm. Of us or me. Like, you know, I just want to get up to the mountains. I just got to get up there and just detach in the mountains. And them to get to the Rocky Mountains, all right?
Uh-huh.
To get there.
Yeah.
How long it would take.
How many people would die?
Uh-huh. How many will be scalped?
Yes.
Right.
By Indian attack, by freezing temperatures. And then once you're there, oh, great. I'm in a mountain. I can't do anything
Should
here.
Should we kill this horse so we can eat?
Right. Do I have to live inside this prehistoric tauntaun? You know, I mean, we are the softest generation ever.
It's only going one way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading this book just thinking to myself, I am so happy I don't live in 1870. That sounds awful.
Okay. When you finish, are you going to tackle the miniseries?
Yes. I've already purchased.
Okay, so it's like 8 episodes or 9?
I want to say it's 6 hours, but I don't know.
That sounds right.
All right, and I'm convinced, even though it won all these awards back in whenever it came out in the 90s, 80s, whenever they did the TV series, that if they did that now, if they did it with modern TV in the golden age of television, it would be so great.
I wish they'd remake it.
I know.
Yeah.
It'd be incredible.
They should.
Go.
All right, we got to go.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff on That's What I Like About Texas. Let's test your rooting interest next. Thank you, Dan. 538 here on the Hard Line. God, that was sweet.
That's what I do.
Some guy says you guys need to come up with the top 10 inventions that Lonesome Dove people would be most floored by.
Okay.
Like, as they're all sitting around the campfire and woman's giving birth in the background, and somebody's eating beans.
God,
and
probably a Burger King. The love toilet. Uh-huh. Love toilet. Burger King. The Wuzzle. The Fleshlight.
You need to die of a horrible death. You.
Me?
Yeah.
And how about the cast of that miniseries?
Dude.
It's freaking Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah, I know. Ricky's taking a tough turn.
Yeah.